Good early afternoon, everybody. My name is Adrian Bros, and I'm a graduate student at California Polytechnic State University in San Luis Obispo. And today I'm going to be talking to you about worm poop and how it influences nitrate leaching. A quick show of hands, who knows what worm poop or vermicompost is? Most excellent. So vermicompost is a worm excrement. It's a finely divided peat-like high organic matter soil amendment. In recent times, people have been using it by itself in organic crop production or in conjunction with synthetic fertilizers as a way to achieve desirable yields and, in some cases, increase yields over synthetic fertilizer only applications. Some research suggests that vermicompost may reduce nitrate leaching either through groundwater or surface water dynamics. Some studies have found also that vermicompost, because of its very high soluble nitrogen concentration, can increase amounts of nitrate leaching in comparison to synthetic fertilizer nitrate leaching. So our overall research goal with this experiment was to determine how organic fertilizer influences soil nitrogen dynamics in crop production. Eutrophication is one of the most widespread and largest consequences of nutrient losses in agriculture, as I'm sure we are all aware. And so we want to figure out whether vermicompost can increase or decrease nutrient losses, in particular nitrogen losses, to the hydrosphere. In particular, the objectives of this research were to, for one, determine the effect of vermicompost on nitrogen leaching, in particular nitrate nitrogen leaching, and second, determine the effect of vermicompost on the growth and development, in particular the vegetative biomass of a strawberry cultivar that's very popular in coastal California. We hypothesized that vermicompost can increase nitrogen retention in soil or promote more nitrogen uptake in strawberry plant tissue, which would, of course, reduce total nitrogen losses to the environment. And second, and something that's much more well-known in the literature, we hypothesize that vermicompost can promote vegetative growth comparable or exceeding that of synthetic fertilizer application at typical field strawberry application rates. So we performed a greenhouse growth study in a greenhouse at Cal Poly. We had a full factorial blocked, randomized, and replicated design. We had two soil media types, soil-less media types. Our first was a Oceano fine sand. It's a lamellic xerosamet, which is a super fine sandy soil, which we selected to simulate sort of a worst-case scenario for nitrate leaching. Our second soil media was a soil-less media, a 50-50 peat perlite horticultural soil-less mix. For our levels of vermicompost amendment, which is illustrated in the graphic here, we have three levels of vermicompost amendment: 0%, 10%, and 25% by weight of the soil in each one of these 1 gallon pots, each planted with one strawberry plant. In addition, some of the treatments received a 150 part per million Jack's Professional synthetic fertilizer fertigation. We applied this at a rate of 93 pounds per acre for the first 8 weeks of our study, and then we later increased the rate to 213 pounds of nitrogen per acre once the strawberry reached the proper growth stage. So the total number of strawberry plants we had in this experiment was 144. You can see here that we have four blocks. Each block was, again, randomized and replicated for all of the factors in our experiment. To collect the leachate, we use the pour-through method of nutrient extraction, which is a typical horticultural nutrient extraction method, which entails pouring 500 milliliters of deionized water into the top of each pot and collecting, on average, 250 plus or minus 10 milliliters of leachate from each 1 gallon pot. The concentration of nitrate was determined with an ion-selective electrode using a standard method. For our nutrient analysis, we grew the strawberry plants in the greenhouse for 18 weeks total. At the end of 18 weeks, we did a destructive harvest. We took the above-ground biomass, dry vegetative biomass. We looked at micro and macronutrient suite, NPK, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, sulfur and manganese as well, and of course tissue total nitrogen as well, to address our hypothesis that maybe vermicompost can increase tissue total nitrogen concentrations, which would of course potentially release or reduce nitrate leaching to the environment. We also did a destructive harvest soil analysis as well, so we incorporated in the below ground root biomass, homogenized everything, and got micro and macronutrients, nitrate and ammonium concentrations from our soils as well. So into the results, this first figure is weekly nitrate leaching versus vermicompost and synthetic fertilizer additions. For reference, the figure on the left is in our peat perlite soilless media, and on the right is our sand soil. On the y-axis is weekly nitrate leached in log base 10 format, which was necessary to encompass the full data set in a visually pleasing manner. So for example, 1.0 is 10 to the 1, so that's about 10 parts per million, or this is 200 parts per million, and then upwards of 3,000 parts per million in some cases. So what we can see is that all of our vermicompost treatments, which are the yellow line, blue line, and purple lines respectively on both sets of figures, significantly leached more nitrate in the first 6 to 7 weeks in both soil media types, as indicated by the high levels of nitrate leaching. Our synthetic fertilizer only control for comparison is the red line here in both figures. We can see that in most cases during the first 7 or so weeks, all of our vermicompost amendment treatments, regardless of not if we combine them with synthetic fertilizer, leached significantly more nitrate than our synthetic fertilizer control, which again was 150 parts per million NPK per liter. However, nitrate leaching significantly decreased as a function of time in both media types when we look at our vermicompost amended treatments of 10 and 25% by weight. In some cases, here in our sand soil figure, we can see that there is no significant difference past week 13 or so between our vermicompost leaching of nitrate and our synthetic fertilizer only leaching of nitrate. And so this figure here, I want to talk a minute about our residual nitrate and ammonia concentrations in our field soil. In our sand soil, we collected this soil in Guadalupe, California, adjacent to a 40-acre commercial conventional strawberry operation, and so it had residual nitrate and ammonium concentrations of around 60 parts per million respectively. So we saw a little bit of initial leaching from our controls, but once we increased our fertilization rate here, as indicated by the red line, which we did after week 8, we saw that nitrate leaching in both soil media was not significantly different from our control of our synthetic fertilizer. So, biomass versus vermicompost and synthetic fertilizer additions. Moving on now to the destructive harvest part of the analyses. We saw a very clear and somewhat linear vegetative biomass response to increasing amounts of vermicompost. So again, our treatments are represented as 0-0 means no vermicompost, no synthetic fertilizer, 0-150 means no vermicompost with synthetic fertilizer, and so forth. 10% vermicompost alone, 10% with synthetic fertilizer, and so forth. So we can see that in our peat perlite, we achieved the highest total above ground dry vegetative biomass with our maximum fertilization rate of both 25% vermicompost by weight and our synthetic fertilizer addition of 150 parts per million NPK per liter. In our sand soil, there was no significant difference. Significance here is indicated P is less than 0.05 in all cases. Otherwise, if I indicate otherwise, in our sand soil, we saw no significant differences between our 10% vermicompost with synthetic fertilizer and our 25% vermicompost with synthetic fertilizer. Another thing about this figure that I find interesting is that if we compare these two columns in both soil media, our 0% vermicompost with synthetic fertilizer and the 10% vermicompost alone with no synthetic fertilizer, we see a very similar biomass response, which suggests that in this greenhouse setting with these soil types, you may be able to achieve a similar biomass response with just using 10% vermicompost as your sole fertilizer source in comparison to a conventional rate of synthetic fertilizer application. However, of course, our vegetative biomass was maximized with the increasing amounts of vermicompost as indicated by this column and these two columns. Lastly, we looked at tissue total nitrogen versus our treatments. So the treatments, again, are the same, the peat perlite, sand soil. Interestingly, we saw our highest tissue total nitrogen in our peat perlite mix achieved in our synthetic fertilizer-only treatment. Whereas in the sand soil, we saw, in general, a somewhat positive linear increase in tissue total nitrogen as a function of increasing vermicompost with or without synthetic fertilizer. So this would suggest that in the peat perlite mix, that maybe tissue total nitrogen is not necessarily a fair indicator of a biomass response or how much nitrogen is, like, as a whole being uptaken into the plant. In the sand soil, we saw, as I mentioned, a little bit more straightforward of an increase. So in summary, we saw very high nitrate leaching from all of our vermicompost emitted treatments. And again, these are in comparison to a synthetic fertilizer only control. After the first 6 weeks, we saw that our vermicompost treatments and the synthetic fertilizer only treatments leached a similar concentration of nitrate. In regard to the biomass, we saw that vegetative biomass was greatest with a combination of vermicompost and synthetic fertilizer. And we also concluded that additions of 10% vermicompost only or synthetic fertilizer only yielded a very similar strawberry vegetative biomass. We also concluded that tissue total nitrogen was not necessarily a good indicator of vegetative biomass in the peat perlite medium in particular. So to readdress our conclusions, for one, we speculated that vermicompost could potentially increase nitrogen retention, in soil or in strawberry plant tissue. We rejected that hypothesis due to the excessive amounts of nitrate leaching that we saw in our vermicompost treatments, in particular over the first 6 weeks of data collection. In regard to our second hypothesis that vermicompost can promote vegetative growth, we accepted that one. We saw very similar results to what we anticipated. So to further make sense of what's going on in this system, we are going to perform a nitrogen budget. We're also going to perform a nitrate sorption batch study to determine sort of a maximum specific nitrate adsorption capacity of nitrate to vermicompost surfaces, which kind of gets at an abiotic mechanism of nitrate retention. Or we're going to autoclave and sterilize a vermicompost and see sorption dynamics in the sterilized vermicompost as a way to determine whether the microbial component of vermicomposts, which in some cases is upwards of 10 billion organisms per gram, is more responsible for the retention or other sort of nitrogen transformations in the systems that are amended with vermicompost.
Thanks, Cedric. We'll shift right here.
Yes. Oh, so the question was, what's the carbon to nitrogen ratio of the vermicompost? I haven't calculated out the ratio, but I know it's about 30% carbon and about 1.6% nitrogen. So something around those lines.
Yes.
Yes.
So it sounds like applying this vermicompost is more economically attractive because it has higher yield. But potentially, from an environment perspective, it's not that attractive. So how do you justify the results you have found so far? Is that good or bad?
So the question was, from an economic standpoint, we know that vermicompost can increase yield or biomass in this experiment, but also in an environmental context, increase nitrogen losses. So the question was, how do we reconcile those two things? So we are working to look at some different amendment rates for both greenhouse and field settings to figure out if we can apply less vermicompost and see a similar growth response while reducing nitrate leaching. We're also going to be hopefully performing the nitrate sorption test, which will sort of give us an idea of whether vermicompost needs to be applied at a much, much, much lower rate than what we use, because we use somewhat of excessive rates of application. 10 and 25% of the soil media inside of a pot is not necessarily an economically or environmentally feasible field application rate. So we will be exploring those things in the future to try to find a Goldilocks level of vermicompost amendment, which both addresses the environmental leaching side of things and the crop production, growth, and yield economic side of things.
Okay.
Rebecca?
So, great study. This was like a greenhouse experiment in very controlled settings. How do you think this would apply to a field setting? Do you think there was any effect of the pots, and do you think this the results would be similar if you did this out just in a regular field?
So, great question. So the question was, how do we reconcile the greenhouse versus field differences in this study? So for one, we discussed earlier the kind of excessive application rates we use in this study. They were, from the literature, greenhouse recommended rates. So when you apply this to a field setting, you're going to be applying much, 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 much less vermicompost. So, for example, we applied in some cases like 760 grams of vermicompost, each one of those pots, based on the weight of the soil, the bulk density of the soils in it and whatnot. So in a field setting, we might be applying more than 6 or 8 grams total to achieve a recommended fertilization rate, say, of like 180 pounds of nitrogen per year or per acre per year. So to reconcile it, we're going to add much less in the field than we do in the greenhouse. For one, it's not economically feasible to apply that much vermicompost. It is quite expensive, especially in comparison to a conventional synthetic fertilizer. So it's like 80 cents a pound or so for vermicompost, like 5 cents a pound for synthetic. So, yeah, we hope to reconcile it that way.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you.